Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Allo Communications Studios, and of course, now's the time where we get into the top stories, or at least some of them, trending nationally. And Angel, we kind of thought this was going to be the case, but the Dolphins did rule out your boy, Tua, and they've got your other boy, Skylar Thompson, set to start at quarterback. How you doing? Were you holding out hope? Did you think it might happen? The Tua might play this weekend?
I was. There was some talk on the Twitterverse last night. The point spread had dropped about a point and a half.
So you're thinking, what do they know?
So we were thinking that somebody had known something. From what Mike McDaniel said this morning at his press conference, no setbacks. So that's positive. But he was not clear to participate in on-field activities. It's a bummer. It sucks. I'm not so sure that this isn't the NFL just saying, hey, no, he can't.
It's a bad look. Don't do it.
Especially against the Bills and all the Hamlin stuff that's going to be going on. It sucks.
Yeah, it's probably a bad look. It probably is. You and I haven't talked about this.
Because McDaniel said it wasn't that he was hurt again or that he's not progressing.
Uh-huh.
It was, as he said, variables outside of it, and that makes it sound like the NFL is telling them no. Because if the NFL independent doctors don't clear him, he can't clear to be practiced or anything. So if it's the NFL stepping in, I guess that's for the best.
Who knows, man? But listen, I like to see the best players play in the playoffs, so it's a bummer for all the NFL, to be honest. You brought this up yesterday. Could the Bears and general manager Ryan Poles be looking to draft a quarterback? They do have the number one overall pick in this year's draft. They have Justin Fields. But what did I tell you yesterday about the old, if it's anything but no, like clearly no, then be careful. Here's what he said. He said he would absolutely need to be blown away.
Blown away by what? A player?
I guess.
Trade package?
Yeah, I think if he were to take a quarterback in the first, like whoever that is, he would have to be blown away by that person. So I don't know. I just think it's a weird situation for Justin Fields. He said he would absolutely need to be blown away to take a quarterback with the number one overall pick in this year's draft. He said, yes, we had good conversations. I'm excited for the direction Justin Fields is going. As I mentioned before, he knows where he has to improve. I think he mentioned that the other day we were excited about his development. But again, I'd have to be blown away. Are you or aren't you blown away?
Sounds like you're listening to options.
I feel like you are listening to options. And does Bryce Young? Who would go number one? Would it be Bryce Young?
It's either Bryce or CJ Stroud, but most likely going to be Bryce.
So that's the question, GM. Are you blown away or not? They're right there. They're not new. They're not coming onto the scene out of nowhere. I think that sounds really weird. I can't see Chicago doing this. They won't do this, right? You got to go with Justin Fields. You just got him. He's only in his second year. Going on to his third.
Well, it's a new NFL. You don't cut it in year one.
I guess.
On the hot seat.
Would you take Justin Fields right now over Russell Wilson?
Yes.
I would too. Younger. I would do it. Yeah, absolutely I would do it. Now, again, whatever that takes to get him, I'm not really into. But if it's just a hypothetical swap.
Weren't the Bears kind of interested with Russell a couple years ago?
Yeah, because remember when they did all
Try to trade with Seattle.
I just remember when they did all, where's Russ going to go? You see all the mocks, like they dress him up and stuff, and they put him in a Broncos jersey. He looked good in a Bears jersey. He actually did. He looked like he made sense with the Bears. I'd take Justin Fields over Russell Wilson today. That could change, but right now, if I was the Broncos GM and Chicago called and said, hey, George Payton, I know it's not your call anymore, but we'll give you Justin Fields for us. We like it. We'll just do it because we're going to, we like our situation. I would do it. Obviously, that's not going to happen. That's a weird one. I'm just blown away by this story, and it's not that it's the story, but this is like top news on ESPN. Like top five stories. Stephanie McMahon resigns from the WWE. Nick Khan is now new sole CEO. I watched the WWE. I saw Stephanie McMahon a lot growing up, watching her on wrestling matches and stuff and all that. I saw her get sacrificed by The Undertaker on the arena. How can anybody say wrestling's fake? I mean,
I've never seen it.
They wheeled her up onto a cross. They tied her to a cross in the arena. And the Ministry of Darkness, yeah, Google it. It's freaking weird that this happened. The Ministry of Darkness, led by The Undertaker, was getting ready to sacrifice her. Like, what does that mean? Killer? Are you looking at it? Yeah, it's creepy stuff, dude.
Man, they put some weird stuff on TV back then.
Yeah, and we all just watched it like, just like Norma. That son of a gun, he's going to sacrifice her to some kind of demonic monster. Ah. And then I think Stone Cold came out and saved her. And I'm like, yeah, go Stone Cold. He took out like 30 dudes. How dare they say wrestling is fake? All of that, 100% believable.
It's entertaining as hell.
Back then it was, because it was like, now I look back at it and I'm like, how did I get into this?
I saw a clip on TikTok of, it was a bit with Steve Austin and Stephanie and Vince, and some of the stuff they were saying to each other, like, would not pass on bad television nowadays.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Calling her insults. Oh my gosh.
Well, and the acting was just.
Well, they're so passionate about it. And we've talked to the wrestlers from Battleground Pro Wrestling.
Yes,
they're so into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a part of it. It's that entertainment factor.
Hey, people that say, why do you like wrestling? Because it's fake. Well, why do you like Avatar? That ain't real.
It's not.
I don't think so.
You just crushed my dreams.
I mean, I'm not like, I don't watch it anymore. I'll go and watch Battleground Pro Wrestling any day of the week, but I don't like watch it on TV anymore. Because I'm in for like the live experience. I would go see a WWE event live for sure.
Yes.
That would be a blast. But I'm just saying, when people say, well, why do you like WWE? It's predetermined who it is. Well, first off, I don't know who it is still. So, like, I'm going to watch the movie Top Gun, and I don't know what Tom Cruise is going to do. I know he's going to do something, but I don't know what he's going to do. Same thing. I'm going to watch WWE. I know The Rock's coming out to do, not anymore, but he's going to do something. He's either going to win or he's going to lose or something's going to happen. It's entertainment. If you like it, you like it. But it's kind of weird to me because I thought Vince came out of retirement and he returned as chairman of the board. Stephanie was also chairman of the publicly traded company before her father's return Friday. She shared co-CEO duties alongside Nick Khan, who is now the sole CEO of the WWE. Her husband, Triple H, remains firmly in place as the person driving WWE's weekly TV storylines, a position he rose to after Vince McMahon, who had been in charge of creative since 1982, initially stepped away from the company in July. I mean, some of the storylines that they did back in the day, would there's no way it would work now. Sexist, probably racist in some instances. Like I said, the Ministry of Darkness stuff. My mom had no idea we were down in the basement watching freaking Undertaker leading the Ministry of Darkness out with candles and the lights are out and they're wheeling Stephanie McMahon on a cross out onto the arena.
Just watching a little bit of that. It's a video of Vince McMahon on the ground and there's just a teddy bear on fire.
Yes!
Just like this serious, like, almost like a documentary of Vince and Stephanie. They're sitting on the couch and they're just like, he wanted to marry her to this demon monster. Like, what is this? And he's so serious about it.
Yeah, and spoiler alert, not that you're ever going to go back. Stephanie was in on it the whole time. They were never going to sacrifice her. She ended up going against her family, man.
She was kind of back and forth with them.
She was. She was a heel, and she was, what do they call it when you're not the heel, you're just a good character? I don't know what the, face and heel. I think it's face and heel. It's like the proper context for that. Dude. I don't know any of the wrestlers now, really. But back in the day, that was some freaking entertainment, man. Stone Cold run out and just start kicking people, and there's like 40 dudes out there, and he just sprint out there and just start going to town. Stone Cold Stunner. Then he'd get up on the turnbuckle. He'd throw it up, his hands up. A person would throw him two beers, smack them together, and chug those bad boys in the air. I mean, dude.
Out.
Oh, and now going back to watch it, probably wouldn't. It probably wouldn't be good to you, but man, it was something else.
I don't know if I could sit down. I might be able to sit down and watch it just once, just to see if it's as good as, if I can actually find it entertaining. Like, I know it is, but can I actually enjoy it?
I try to, I'll flip through and I'll see like WWE Raw, and mainly because it brings me back, just seeing it on the guide. When you're going through channel surfing, just seeing it on the guide, it takes me back. You know, I had really special times with my brother watching wrestling all the time. So I'll just click it and watch for like until the next commercial break. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm just not into it anymore. Not into it on TV anyway. Eastside Chris, the high flyers from back in my day probably couldn't handle the wrestling world today. Maybe Mad Dog Vachon could prevail. I wouldn't know that one. I go about as far, like I knew the Hulk Hogan's, like I heard Ric Flair's going to wrestle again. He's like 99 years old or something. I go back in the 90s, mid to late 90s, WCW was still going, the NWO Wolfpack, the NWO, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and then in the WWF at the time it was The Rock and Stone Cold and Chris Jericho, yeah, Kane. Kane was awesome until he lost the mask, and then I'm like, this isn't cool anymore. Great action figures. My kid loves them. Like, he loves
them. Used to have a couple.
And I used to have them before I even knew what it was. I'm like, these things are awesome.
I didn't know who they were. They were just a bunch of buff dudes. Here, play with these guys. I don't know
tights,
who they are.
Yep. In tights, yeah.
And they just gave me a little box. I'm like, oh, what am I going to do with this?
The ring?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, man. That's weird. It's crazy that it just makes the top five news like that. They must... My only thing to that is they must be doing fairly well in ratings, although ESPN is a confusing one because sometimes just because they put in their top five stories doesn't mean it's like big news. And I'm just going to say this. You can take it however you want. They really, like every other clip if you watch SportsCenter in the morning, and I do, typically back and forth between NFL Network, they'll do like four clips in a row of NCAA women's basketball. I'm just asking, and I'm looking at the game that they're showing, and I'm seeing like eight people in the stands. So I know that that game, as far as ratings and moving the needle, didn't do it, but they're choosing to make that like a 20-minute segment of their morning show, like four games in a row. And I'm not saying you shouldn't highlight women's basketball. I would just think if you're a company that's doing like this show here, I talk about things that I think listeners are going to want to talk about. That's why I don't talk about WWE. I could go off, dude. I could talk 4 hours a day about mid-90s and early 2000s wrestling. But so anyway, ESPN, I think they just kind of go for whatever the hell they want, whatever they want to put out there. I'm not trying to sound like a jerk, but you know what I'm saying. Like, there could be entertaining basketball games, but you know damn good and well that the ratings for that for the four women's basketball games that just aired back-to-back there, as far as the highlights didn't do better than the night's events between hockey, NBA, and men's college basketball. I mean, it just didn't. Those are the brass tacks.
Is it maybe because people aren't watching SportsCenter anymore?
I don't know. Are the ratings pretty bad?
I mean, I haven't watched
it's
in
not
years.
Good anymore.
Like that was like my morning routine was putting on SportsCenter. Nah, I hardly ever watch ESPN.
They don't have the host that I used to like back in the day. Like, they just don't have them. And the new people, I'm like...
Like, the production is it looks cool.
The production's fine,
it's entertaining,
yeah.
But I'm not like, oh, I gotta watch SportsCenter.
Yeah, I don't look at it and go, wow, this must-see TV.
Oh, Stephen A. Smith's yelling again?
Okay. No. That time has passed in my life to watch Stephen A. Smith. Like, there used to be some shows I looked forward to. It's just not there anymore. 19 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We still have Mark Johnson coming up on the program. Also, is it realistic to think that if the Nuggets win a title this year, and maybe even without the MVP, does Joker crack that top 10, top 5 best players of all time? I mean, he is doing remarkable things. We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Talk to the cops. But do you know why I'm saying that? It's because if the cops want to talk to you, it's because you are either a victim or a suspect. If you don't know why they want to talk to you, you are probably a suspect. You could tell the cops no and then have an attorney talk for you, which is why it is so important to have an attorney fighting on your behalf. An attorney can talk to the cops for you, and it cannot be used as evidence against you in a criminal case. Call me at 720-340-1373. What do you say when a cop pulls you over for a DUI? Nothing. But how do you answer when they ask you how much you have been drinking? You need to say nothing. The best answer is, I'm not going to answer your questions. Most people think they can tell the cops that they had two beers or two drinks. Wrong. You need to say nothing and call me at 720-340-1373. If you have a friend who talked to the cops, have them call me too.
Okay, you've turned on your furnace for the winter, but if it's not doing its job, let the technicians at Lemons Heating and Cooling do theirs. They perform service and maintenance on all furnaces. If it needs to be done on yours, Lemons Heating and Cooling can do it. Their services are 24/7, so if you need them, Lemons Heating and Cooling is there. They also take care of filtration, humidification, and installation of programmable thermostats. Lemons Heating and Cooling, 970-353-3527.
David Arati helped lead the Rams to the big dance last season, but over the summer, the star player declared for the draft and was taken in the first round by Memphis. Now, CSU will try to go dancing back-to-back, and there's one show that will follow the journey closer than anyone in the state. Rams Weekly with Brady Hole and the Coloradoans Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire host the All Things Rams talk show that goes in-depth on current storylines, weekly matchups, and more. Rams Weekly every Thursday at 5 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA, and online at 1310kfk.com.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Little Walls of Jericho right there. Dude, that's good. I mean, it was just a different time. Bear with me, guys. It was a different time. It was fun. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We are live from the Allo Communication Studios. And you and I have kind of talked about this off and on and what it might look like, but the reality is starting to kind of, I don't know, man. I guess it's starting to appear like maybe Joker could get up there and be one of the greatest of all time. How far-fetched is that? I'm not saying I'm putting him right next to Michael Jordan today, but he's chipping away at these guys. Like, he's breaking records. He's moving up certain record lists. He's doing things that not a lot of players do on a regular basis. So I think it's starting to become a little bit of a reality that Nikola Jokic, when it's all said and done, could be a top 10. And you said it the other day, maybe top 5 while we're throwing that around. It's going to take a championship, though.
It will. He'll always be, you know, just, oh, did he win a title? MVP, regular season stuff doesn't matter. Did you win a title?
Right.
And it's hard to say that. It's not hard to say. He could probably get to top 10 without a title.
I mean, if you rack up the MVPs and you do have the stats and you're constantly in the playoffs, then yeah. NBA is judged a little bit differently than the NFL. Because, at least with quarterbacks, because we always like to debate great quarterbacks, and the first thing we always look at is, well, did they win a Super Bowl? And then you start looking at their stats and everything. But there's a lot of great players in the NBA. Charles Barkley is one of the greatest players to ever play the game of basketball. He didn't win a title.
Chris Paul.
Yeah, Chris Paul's right there. Maybe they will, according to everybody that's voting today.
Damian Lillard might also be in that conversation.
Damian Lillard's guy. I mean, even some of the guys that are in, you know, the top list, the top tiers. Now, there's obviously your multi-winner winners, but like Allen Iverson, he never won a championship. Allen Iverson, when he played, if you watched him play, he was one of the most electric players out there. Kobe Bryant even said, he's like, good thing Allen Iverson wasn't 6'6", or 6'5", even, because Kobe said it years ago, like, if Allen Iverson was 6'5", there'd be nobody touching it. He'd be the best player, hands down. But, you know, you just look around, and I think it's going to probably, yeah, the easiest route just to win a title. If you, like, his resume is already going to say, if they can win a title, let's say they do it this year, two MVPs, maybe three MVPs. Let's just say it. Three MVPs and an NBA title. That has to, three in a row, by the way.
In just a four-year span.
That has to put you as one of the top players. Yeah. And how many All-Star games has he been to? Because I think he was... He went to an All-Star game the year before he won an MVP. So, I mean, even then, his All-Star appearances... Because you look, Hakeem Olajuwon won two NBA titles, two Finals MVPs, which if the Nuggets... So he's been to four All-Stars, he's getting ready to go five then. And if the Nuggets get to the Finals and they win it, then odds are Joker's going to be the Finals MVP. Olajuwon had one regular season MVP. Shaq had four NBA... Four? Yeah, four. He had three with LA and one with Miami. But he also had one regular season MVP. I'm serious, dude. I'm not going to put him up above... I mean, if Joker wins a title this year, is he better than Hakeem Olajuwon? I mean, that's top. A lot of people put that in their top 10. Hakeem's 10. Shaq, Duncan, Chamberlain, LeBron, Larry Bird, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic, Bill, Jordan, Kobe. I mean, where do you want to put all those guys? The tier for me is the obvious. It's like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Larry Bird, Bill Russell, Magic Johnson, Shaq's in that mix too. LeBron's there. Joker's better than Tim Duncan. Like, he doesn't have the championships right now, but he's the better player than Tim Duncan.
Is he better than Kevin Garnett?
Yes. Better than KG.
Is he better than Giannis?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think he's the best player in the NBA, right? Like, even if he doesn't somehow win the MVP this year, he's the best player. Well, let's keep this conversation going, because, again, there's going to be certain players that he's just not. He's not going to beat. Jordan's Jordan. Have yet to see anybody dethrone that guy. 30 minutes after the hour, Mark Johnson coming up next. We'll talk to him about all things Colorado Buffaloes, the Buffs football side of things. They are not start. Doesn't sound like they're starting against TCU. Does sound like it's going to be Arizona State. And as Angel said yesterday, at a neutral site. A lot of people are like, why would they want to play in Arizona State in August? Because they're not, bro. 31 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. We got the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes joining us, Mark Johnson, getting set for... pretty big one tomorrow night. The Colorado Buffs keep rolling. They took care of Oregon State and Oregon before that, looking to see if they can keep that momentum going on the road against USC. But first, Mark, we're hearing, and we hear it from Deion Sanders on the national championship broadcast, by the way, I mean, promoting the heck out of Colorado, my goodness, that TCU will not be their first game. That we may have a week zero or a 0 week game for the Buffaloes next season.
Well, I come to you right now from the Galen Center here in Los Angeles. We just landed. Team's practicing right now, and we just landed here maybe an hour ago. When I got off, or got we landed rather, turned my phone on. I saw Pete Thamel just tweeted out that is not going to happen. That the waiver has been denied. So. Pete Thamel's about as credible a guy as you can find in college football, so I guess we'll take his word for it. But that's the last I heard here within the last hour.
Okay, so any reasons as far as what comes to your brain as far as why not? Is just too late in the game for that, I suppose? Because we always talk about teams have their schedules done like 30 years from now.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's it. In order to get a week zero game, there has to be a waiver, and I don't know why it was denied. Thamel's report did not say, and I've not heard at this point, being out here in L.A. with basketball. So I'm not sure exactly what the deal was. But, yeah, you have to apply for that date. There are always, as you well know, a handful of games on that week zero game, so the week before when everyone else gets underway. And for whatever reason, it apparently was denied. So I think that would have been kind of cool. However, with that being said, the first thing I thought about when I heard that was, holy cow, can you imagine what the last weekend in August is going to be like in Tempe, Arizona? I mean, that'd be a 115-degree game. And I've done some games down there in September, man. That's never pleasant.
Yeah, it would be ridiculous at that point. It does make – but then I was hearing, too, that it might be, like, at a neutral location and all that. And I'm like, man, is College Game Day going to be out there for this then? Is this going to be, like, the biggest zero-week game in the history of the world? But, well, Primetime was excited about talking about it, at least. But, Mark, I mean, you look at the marketing – that went in, you couldn't buy on Monday. He's out there in his primetime gear, in his CU Buffs gear, promoting Colorado. Yep. And, I mean, how much would it have cost the Buffaloes to even stick a tiny sticker anywhere in that stadium or on the TV? There you go. You have Deion Sanders promoting the Buffs in such a big way.
Well, there's no doubt. And then the next morning, you know, he was on the CBS morning show as well at about 6:30 in the morning Mountain Time. And so, yeah, he got himself a little bit of network television time, and that's, you know, that's what he brings, Brady, what you and I have been talking about. I mean, there are football coaches, and then there's Deion Sanders, and he is a celebrity and an icon that coaches. He's not just a football coach, and so that's part of the, you know, I guess the overall item that you get with Deion Sanders is you get all of that kind of exposure because he is a hype machine. And he just kind of generates that stuff. That's kind of his natural deal. And as we found out, his natural odor, by the way, is winning, as he told the team this morning. So that happened as well. But yeah, certainly a great deal of exposure for a program that desperately needs it.
Mark, it's funny. I was watching the national championship game, and I'm just seeing Georgia dismantle TCU. It was just awful. But I'm going back to it at the end of the day. At the start of the game, I'm thinking, wow, TCU's in the national championship. It's absolutely crazy they're here. Who knows? Maybe they'll pull off something crazy. Obviously didn't. But I did go back to that first game of the season for the Buffs under Carl Durrell. The Buffs were right there with TCU at half, if you remember. I mean, obviously you remember, but it was kind of a clunky way of calling a game by Carl Durrell, and then ultimately TCU started to run away with it. But I just go back to it, and I think, man, isn't that crazy? The first half of the season, the Buffs were hanging in there with TCU.
Is this, so then what does that mean? Then would that Colorado team get beat like a 247-7 then? What do you think that?
I think Georgia probably could have put up 250 or something like that.
You know,
but isn't that bizarre to think about how teams change so much from week one to the end of the season?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And I'll say this as well. Georgia is hands down the best team in America. Make no mistake about it. If they played 10 times, Georgia wins probably 9.5 of them. But I think that was a bad performance by TCU.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. I don't know if you saw. There was a bunch of people on social media, and we know that only the smartest stuff is put on social media.
True, true.
And, you know, just screaming about, you know, the committee blowing this and letting it. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, have you ever watched the Super Bowl? About 8 times out of 10, that game is horrible. So what are you talking about? You know, they did a poor job of putting this together. That could have happened to anybody on that given day, the way that, you know, the Georgia Bulldogs are playing. Because I thought Georgia was phenomenal in that game. I thought TCU played very, very poorly. So, it was not a great game in any way, shape, or form. Georgia deserved the win, but I'm not sure it was a true representation of what TCU is capable of.
Yeah, and you know, from a fan's perspective, would I have rather watched Georgia and Alabama on that night? Yes, but the way it's in place, it is what it is. And you're right, Mark, that's the way this was designed. I feel like it worked out the way it should have worked out. The same thing with the Super Bowl. If, let's just say, Seattle stuns the world and beats San Francisco, they go run the table, and it's Seattle and Buffalo. I would much rather see Buffalo and, you know, San Francisco or Philadelphia. But they have it in place. This is the way they do it. You're not always going to get the best matchups. And it's going to be like that, too, when the playoffs expand.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And think about this for a second. You know, people always talk about the SEC being hands down the best conference. I've debated that a little bit. I think at the very top, they are the best conference. The top, you know, three or four teams, I think, are spectacular. Depending on the year. But you could see a scenario when you've got a really strong top half of the SEC. You could see a scenario where maybe you get three of the four teams or SEC teams in the Final Four. Maybe you get four or four. I mean, you know, maybe that potentially happens. So, you know, be careful what you wish for in these set of circumstances because, you know, those kind of things could potentially happen the way they're setting this up. I don't have a problem with that. But then there are going to be people complaining about that as well. I guarantee you that'll be a complaint when that does potentially happen.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, joining us as he's getting set for in LA, set for a big one against the Buffs and USC. First off, Mark, Tristan DeSilva named the Pac-12 player of the week. I mean, he was special in those wins against Oregon State and Oregon, and he's just been one of those guys, man. I mean, he had 17 points, 5 boards, and he's a special player out there, and it seems like he's getting better as the season progresses.
Yeah, without question. I mean, you know, that the win over Oregon, Colorado played without K.J. Simpson, and it was really a phenomenal performance in that game. He had 30 points in that contest. Did Tristan against the Oregon Ducks, then came back. K.J. was back the next game. We're still kind of coming back from that stomach flu that he had had, and he still didn't do a whole lot, but Tristan was outstanding in that ball game as well. And so, you know, they had back-to-back player of the week honors the Pac-12. K.J. got it last week. Tristan's got it this week. K.J.'s standing right in front of me right now. They're putting some shots up right now here at the Galen Center, and he looks fine for tomorrow night. But, you know, this team has won 7 of 8 games now. Now, the one loss is a clunker, obviously, at Cal. But right now, Colorado, coming off those two ball games, is hands down playing its best basketball of the season.
And Mark, is it every time they make a shot, the sirens go off there? Is that what's going on? It's pretty
you
cool.
You know, I think what they're doing, I just walked out in the tunnel out here before you called, and I think they're working on something electronic. I mean, like the fire alarms or something, and so it's going off nonstop here in these things. But yeah, there is no fire. It's just something that's working out.
Well, I'm ready for this one. And these were two, you know, you and I talked last week after the Cal loss. You really needed to bounce back. You darn sure needed to get the win. It was just nice to be able to win so easily against Oregon and Oregon State. So those were two big bounce back games that, again, you know, you lose to Cal, and then you take care of Oregon and Oregon State the way you did. We're still on this roller coaster with Colorado.
Well, in some respects, yes. And keep in mind, what you're talking about is two historic wins. I mean, Colorado gave up 41 and 42 points in those two games. That, by the way, in conference back-to-back games, is the two lowest total defensive games the Buffaloes have put together since 1948-49. Think about that for a second.
Wow.
Those just weren't good defensive performances. Those were spectacular defensive performances to do that. I mean, holding both teams down the lower 30 percentile range, out-rebounding both teams heavily, you know, holding them to that low point total. I mean, those were two phenomenal defensive. That's why I say Colorado's playing its best basketball right now. I think that Cal game might have served as a wake-up. Now we'll find out what happens here on Thursday night and Saturday night, okay? You've got two very good basketball teams. I think this USC team, their record's about the same as the Buffs. I was looking over their numbers in the plane. Their numbers are very, very similar. And so I think that's going to be a really fascinating game tomorrow night here in Los Angeles. And then, of course, on Saturday, you got to play a top-10 team in UCLA over in Westwood at the Pauley Pavilion.
And it's funny about that, too, about the Oregon State thing. I've seen Oregon score 80 points several times this year, and they had to do it combined with Oregon State, 83 points between the two of them against the Buffs. So that's outrageous. That's absolutely huge. But this USC game, as you said, this is a big one for those middle teams right now. You know, this kind of helps change a little bit of a trajectory. Plus, looking forward a couple of days after this one, you got UCLA. So you got to keep focus on this one, grab this dub, and then that UCLA one becomes a monster game for the Buffs.
Yeah, you know, that'll be a nationally televised game. Fox is going to do that one, and someone's going to be watching. And so it'll be awful nice to pick up a win on Thursday night against USC, where Colorado, by the way, has played exceptionally well. Let's see, USC got the game in Boulder last year. They only played one time. And prior to that, I think the Buffs had beaten the Trojans 7 consecutive times. So they kind of had USC's number. If they can get this one and set up a monster game. And what getting a win like that then kind of puts Colorado back in the upper echelon of the Pac-12. You're in the top half then, and you can really start talking about making some noise. And, of course, you got a phenomenal test against the team that I think Arizona is very good. Don't get me wrong. I think they're outstanding. But I think UCLA is the best team in the Pac-12 right now. So that would be a phenomenal challenge on Saturday night.
And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if the Buffs pull it off. The way, you know, the Buffs maybe rise to the occasion against these great teams, and that would be something else, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, they've done that so far this season. Well, you think about some of the games they've won,
yeah.
Right? You got Tennessee, you've got Texas A&M, you've got, you know, even though CSU is having a fine season, but having a rivalry game. I mean, they blow out CSU. Oregon comes in. You need that one, or they blow them out by 27. And so they do have a tendency of doing that kind of thing. By the way, you know who's also in the building right now?
No.
The the Dallas Mavericks are in the building right now. In fact, when the practices are over, we're going to get a chance to spend a little time with McKinley Wright and Spencer Dinwiddie, who are playing for the Dallas Mavericks right now. So it'll be kind of neat.
Yeah, some special Buffaloes right there for sure. And tell Luke to slow down a little bit. We're rooting for Joker to get that MVP. So when you talk to him, just throw that out there.
Not sure we're going to have any chance to talk to Luke, but I tell you what, isn't it interesting? Those two, foreign-born athletes are probably the two best players in the world right now, and both of them, in my view, make basketball fun to watch.
No question, and the NBA needs players like that because they both have a unique skill set that you just don't see with anybody else, and I think it's those two and everybody else as far as the race goes in the MVP voting right now. So it should be interesting. Mark, my man, what time do you get rocking and rolling tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Mountain Time game will hit the air at 6. Do I have that right? I think that's right off the top of my head. I think it's a 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip off tomorrow night.
I'm looking. You are exactly right, Mark. Not that I need to fact check you, but you're 100% right. We'll be listening tomorrow night, and I look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right. By the way, happy 5th birthday to Gavin, by the way.
I appreciate it. I threw up the horse picture there, so I figured you would appreciate that.
There you go. No doubt about it. That's awesome. Enjoy that tonight.
All right, man. Mark, appreciate you, dude. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. How about that? The Mavs are in the building. Dinwiddie, Wright, and probably Luka is there, too. You think Mark can go talk to Luka a little bit? I wonder if Luka is, like, approachable.
Yes.
Maybe.
He seems like a goofy, fun guy.
I think. I think Joker is a goofy and fun guy, but I don't know. Sometimes I see press conferences now where Joker's just kind of like,
well, he's
business.
Good. He's working.
He said the other day, he's like, I wear a suit to work to the game because it's a business meeting.
Such nice suits for Jokic.
Oh, the best.
I know you have a lot of money, but how can you just never run out of nice suits?
Like, how many suits? Does he just have, like, 30 suits? Like, I always look at these guys with suits. You never see him wear the same suit twice, do you?
Nope.
I mean, not that I'm, like, memorizing.
Well, you wouldn't know it because they might, you know, do a different combination.
That's
different
true.
Shirt, different shoes.
Like, how many suits do you think, like, actual suits, not combinations of whatever, but actual suits Joker has in his closet here in Denver?
Say at least 25.
Probably.
And he doesn't even pick them out. His wife does.
Do they have to wear suits to...
No.
They can wear whatever they want, right?
Well, I mean, Russell Westbrook's been doing that for years.
Because they don't have to look somewhat professional.
No.
That's interesting.
But it's always that, they're going to be taking pictures of me when I show up. Let me look good.
Would you wear a suit?
Oh, yeah. I love dressing
dude,
up.
Dude, I'd be like in jeans and a t-shirt. Like a
like
Game of Thrones
I'll
t-shirt.
Wear a suit,
a backwards
other nights,
hat.
No, I'm just going to wear sweatpants and flip-flops.
Yeah, I'd be in sweatpants. You're going to a basketball game. You know, be comfortable.
Like those Nike slides with no socks, just to give them that.
Yeah.
Air out the feet.
That's a good poll question, everybody. If you were a professional athlete, would you wear a suit to the arena? Would you wear relaxed clothes, like workout type clothes, or just like, you know, jeans and a polo or something?
Or are you going to wear a jersey from a couple years ago?
Who do you think the Hooligans are? I'm going to say a pair of jeans and a t-shirt.
And a trucker hat.
Well, County Swami says, is the purge happening behind Mark? I just pictured Mark on a horse running down. Like, did you ever see the Cowboy Way when the cowboys are in the city in New York or whatever and like the cops are everywhere? They're riding their horses down the street. I just assume Mark is always on a horse, by the way.
I think he
calls the games sitting on a horse. You just don't see it courtside because they like edit it out. Because it would be unprofessional to have a horse in your gym. But I feel like he's just on a horse there. 12:50 the time. We'll be right back. We were going to have Cody Tucker on the program talking some Cowboys with us. But he does have to cancel today. So we will see if we can catch up with him tomorrow. So we always look forward to our conversation with Cody. All right. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
It's 12:53 the time. Welcome back. The poll question of the day, pick your next coach for the Broncos. I realize that's not really a question, but you know, we're not going to change the name of the feature. So go vote at theholeshow.com. Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh, Ejiro Evero, Vero, whatever, Dan Quinn, Jim Caldwell, D'Amico Ryans, Raheem Morris. Sean Payton still winning this one. Jim Harbaugh coming in second. And then it's, I think Evero still. Yep. Then Dan Quinn, then Caldwell, then D'Amico Ryans, then Raheem Morris. The only thing I would change is Dan Quinn above Evero, I suppose, because that's kind of where my brain is. Go with a proven head coach and go that direction. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043 if you want to get at us on the text line. Do want to shout out to one of our excellent sponsors, and that is Lemons Heating and Cooling. Air conditioning, heating, duct cleaning, all of that you need to be paying attention to all the time. You know, maybe your air conditioner went out on you. Maybe it was struggling toward the end, and you kind of were like, you know what, we're going to limp it along. We'll just see if we can get through it, and maybe we'll turn it back on next year, and it'll be fine. No, get Lemons Heating and Cooling to check that out. Maybe the heater situation isn't good. We've had some really cold days, cold nights in the area, and you don't want to be without a heater, or certainly with one that's kind of sputtering and just not doing its job. Lemons Heating and Cooling will take care of you. HVAC contractor in Greeley. Free estimates available. Check them out online. LemonsHeatingandCooling.com. That's LemonsHeatingandCooling.com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. And thanks to Mark. It is my kiddo, Gavin Warren Hole. We have the same middle name. Yeah, I did that. It is his fifth birthday today. The Big Five. And he's been riding horses, so it's really cool.
There you go. It's a big year for Gavin.
It's a huge year. I mean, I didn't ride. I grew up on a farm, and I was terrified of horses until I'm 36, which is what I am now. And he's like chomping at the bit, man. He just rode his first one last week, and then he goes out and does it again. So he does not get that from me. I was a farm kid. I love it. I said this last week. Everybody's commenting like, well, of course, he's a hull. You're a farm kid. You rode horses. Like, I bought a four-wheeler, bro. My grandpa and dad and brother were the horsemen. That was not me. You can control a four-wheeler way easier than a horse. You just get on it.
I think that fear is what, you know, the horse can sense that.
Yeah, and the four-wheeler never sensed any of the fear. I mean, at all. Even when I tipped it a few times, it was fine. I love horses, actually. I'm a big horse guy, but I'm just not a big fan of getting up on top of one. It's out of my control. I'm not going to do that. But seeing my kid up there and then also feeling a little like depressed because I'm like, wow, look at him. He's like laughing. He's brave. He's having fun. I would be up there like, when does this thing stop, man? So no, we're going to have some fun tonight. Little birthday boy. So we decked out the house. My wife loves to decorate for birthdays. Toy Story everywhere. So, and then his grandma brought over a giant life-sized Elmo balloon. So there's that. That'll be there probably forever. So toys, and more toys for that little boy, man. It's awesome. Love it. Love it to death. It's great. Final hour coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.